If you will, find Matthew chapter 5 as we continue our study of the Sermon on the Mount. We now look at the fourth of six examples Jesus uses to show the difference in the teaching of the scribes and the teaching of the Lord Jesus. He laid down some principles. He said back in verse 20, "Except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." And he goes on to talk about the difference in their righteousness and the righteousness we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Today we're going to deal with truthfulness, keeping our promises. How many of you have ever been guilty of telling a lie? Give me a show of hands here. Now, those of you who didn't raise your hand are the biggest liars here. Some are talking. Well, I was talking and missed that. But confession is good for the soul. Amen. In a Sunday school class, the teacher asked the students to define lying. And one boy said, "A lie is an abomination to the Lord and a very present help in time of need." Well, we talked about the sanctity of life. Don't kill. We talked about the sanctity of marriage. No adultery, no divorce. Now we're going to look at the sanctity of vows. Being promise keepers. You ever heard of the Promise Keepers Crusades? They're still going on, by the way. I didn't know if they were. I Googled it this week, and they just had a big meeting last year in Arlington. And this is for men, to teach men to be men of integrity and to keep their promises, keep their wedding vows, and keep their promises to their children, keep their promises to God. How many of you ever been to a Promise Keepers Crusade? Oh, just a couple of you. But that's what we're having. This is a Promise Keepers Crusade today. We're going to talk about being promise keepers and how to keep our promises. You know, telling falsehoods, that can be common with certain groups. What group comes to your mind when you think of a group that's known for lying? Politicians? Did somebody say preachers? No. How about politicians? How can you tell when a politician's lying? His lips are moving. That's true. A fellow's walking through a cemetery and he noticed a tombstone. And it said, "Here lies a congressman and an honest man." So you thought, well, that's strange. Two men buried in the same grave. I heard about a busload of politicians that was involved in a terrible wreck. Out in the country, an old farmer saw it, and he went over, and he began to bury these politicians. Sheriff came out and said, "What happened to all these people in this bus wreck?" He said, "Well, I buried them." He said, "Well, were they dead?" He said, "Well, some of them said they weren't." But you know how politicians lie. Well, in all seriousness, time to get serious. Jesus speaks here about, he gives us the truth about lying here. I'm sure there are some politicians that are honest, but, they make a lot of promises, don't they, when they're campaigning? And they seem to forget those promises when they get in office. The one that really sticks out, you remember the senior Bush campaigning, he had to read my lips, remember that? No more taxes. He gets in office, and what does he do? He raises the taxes. And he's known for that. He did not keep that promise. So we're going to talk about keeping promises and being honest in this message today. Lying is very commonplace. I read that 10 million people lie to the IRS each year. Probably more than that when you think about it. 80% lie on their resumes. 70% of all doctors lie to insurance companies. 95% of college students will lie to a potential employer in order to get hired. So it's pretty commonplace that we tend to be dishonest in our dealings with others. So let's look at this morning in Matthew chapter 5. Begin with verse 33. Again, ye have heard that has been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it's God's throne, nor by the earth, for it's its footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatever is more than these cometh of evil. If we want to take notes, first of all, let's note what he said about dishonest words. He's talking about vows, talking about keeping promises here. Now, the exact words of verse 33 cannot be found anywhere in the Old Testament. But keep in mind, Jesus not talking so much about what was written, but what these Pharisees and scribes were saying. Ye have heard them say, but I say. So this is what they were teaching concerning keeping vows and oaths. You would make a vow to add veracity to your statement. You ever say, well, I swear I'll have it done by Friday. You ever done that? Why can't you just say, I'll have it done by Friday? Why do you have to swear? Well, we want them to know how serious we are about getting this done. So that's very commonplace, and yet we'll swear to do something and then fail to do it. And we don't really think much about it. And look at this. First, consider false oaths that he's talking about. The word forswear means really to commit perjury, to swear falsely. It's not keeping a vow or keeping a promise. Write this verse down. Proverbs 12:22. God's word says, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. Sunday school boy had it right, didn't he? An abomination to the Lord. But they that deal truly are his delight. God delights in the truth. And lying is an abomination to him. How about Proverbs 6, verses 16 and 17, speaks of six things that God hates. Says, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him, a proud look, a lying tongue. God hates a lying tongue. And we should hate what God hates. Amen? I heard about a man who had he bought a talking parrot. And somebody had taught this parrot to swear and take God's name in vain. And the man who bought the parrot tried to get the bird to stop doing that, but to no avail. He finally said, if you swear one more time, I'm going to put you in a freezer. Sure enough, it wasn't long, the parrot swore again. The man grabs the parrot and sticks it in a freezer and leaves it there for several minutes. Finally, he opened the door. That shivering parrot said, man, I'm so sorry. I'll never, ever swear again. But I got to ask you, what did this turkey do? He's frozen solid. He must have done something real bad. That's not a true story. So there's a preacher up there lying about. That's a parable. Amen. Jesus used parables. But we need to be known for being honest and being truthful. About some people you'll hear say, no, you just can't believe a word he says. Anybody ever say that about you? Or they say, yeah, take everything he says with a grain of salt. Now, you don't want that kind of a reputation, do you? You want people to know that you are honest. But there are some people that are just known for being habitual liars. See, like some people would rather tell a lie when the truth would serve them better. They just will lie. So one object of this is to restrict making vows and promises when we don't need to. Secondly, let's consider faithful oaths. Jesus said, if you do make a vow, perform that vow. Perform thy oaths. A man's word should be his bond. Ain't that right? That's what the old-timers would say. His word is his bond. He's going to keep his promises. He's going to be faithful to his vow. What does the Bible say about this? In Numbers 32, verse 2, if a man vow a vow unto the Lord, or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word. He shall do everything to all that proceedeth out of his mouth. Okay? Give me another one. Deuteronomy chapter 23, verses 21 through 23. Says, when thou shalt vow a vow unto the Lord thy God, thou shalt not slack to pay it. For the Lord thy God will surely require it of thee, and it would be sin in thee. But if thou shalt forbear to vow, it shall be no sin in thee. That which is gone out of thy lips, thou shalt keep and perform even a freewill offering according as thou hast vowed unto the Lord thy God, which thou hast promised with thy mouth. So when you make a vow, you make a promise, keep it. Keep it. Let me give you one more. In Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 4, when thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. For he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Now, evidently, God takes vows pretty seriously, doesn't he? You ever promised God that you would do something? We've already talked about wedding vows, haven't we? We stand in the house of God on a wedding day and here's a couple that will make vows to one another and to God that we will stay together. Now, God takes those vows seriously. Now, we've already talked about this. A lot of people today do not take wedding vows very seriously. You know, we'll try. If it doesn't work out, we'll split up. Some people will rededicate their life to God. They'll make a vow to God that they will, from this point on, be more faithful and go about doing those things that God expects of us. They'll make a vow and then quickly forget it. God says, keep your vows. Keep your promises. The psalmist prayed. Look at Psalm 119, verse 29. This is a prayer. Remove from me the way of lying. Would you say that with me? Everybody. Remove from me the way of lying. That's a good prayer, isn't it? We ought to pray that. I'll give you another one. Over in Psalm 120, verse 2. Say this with me. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips, from a deceitful tongue. It'd be good to memorize those verses and add those to your daily prayer life. Amen. It's just a prayer to God to help us be truthful and honest at all times. People should be able to take us who claim to be Christians, they should be able to take us at our word without all the swearing and promising. We should be known for our honesty, that we will do what we say we will do. We live in a time, folks, when honesty is rare. It's very rare these days. Proverbs 13:5. A righteous man hates lying. Amen. Do you hate lying? Amen. You ought to. See, the closer we get to God, the more we're going to hate lying, and the more we're going to want to be truthful in all we say and do. Here's the second thought. Note what he said about deceptive words. Back in verses 34 and 36, he's describing a common practice among the Pharisees with the intention of deceiving. There's not only a case of lying, but there's a case of deceiving others. He speaks here about a distorted view of oaths. Here again, he's going back to what the scribes and Pharisees are teaching. Now, what they would say is, do not use God's name in a vow unless you really mean to keep it. There are lesser vows that you can make. You can make a vow of the temple. That's not really binding. But if you make a vow from the gold of the temple, oh, that's binding. If you take an oath by the altar, well, you don't really have to keep that. But if you take an oath by the gift upon the altar, well, that's binding. See, this is what they were doing. This is what they were teaching. Matter of fact, go to Matthew 23. Let me show you what Jesus says about this. In Matthew 23, begin with verse 16. Here Jesus addresses what they're teaching concerning vows. Matthew 23:16. Woe unto you, you blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it's nothing. But whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he's a debtor. Jesus said, ye fools and blind, for neither is greater the gold or the temple that sanctifieth the gold. And they say, whosoever shall swear by the altar, it's nothing. But whosoever swears by the gift that is upon the altar, he's guilty. He said, ye fools and blind, for whether is greater the gift or the altar that sanctifies the gift? Whoso therefore shall swear by the altar, sweareth by it and by all things thereon. Whoso shall swear by the temple, sweareth by it and by him that dwelleth therein. Talking about God himself. He that swears by heaven, sweareth by the throne of God and by him that sitteth thereon. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay the tithe of mint and anise and cumin, have omitted the weightier laws, matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you to have done, and not to leave the other undone. So Jesus is talking about what they were teaching and just how senseless it really was. No, we do that. Do you remember as kids when you had promised something and if you crossed your fingers behind your back, they said, well, you swore, I had my fingers crossed. See, kids, that's what your parents used to do. I'm not trying to teach kids to do that. Y'all don't pay any attention to that. That gives you an idea how we try to get away with things, right? We didn't really mean that we had our fingers crossed. The Pharisees had their system of crossing their fingers. Instead of swearing by God's name, they'd swear by heaven or earth or Jerusalem or by the hair of their chinny chin chin. If you swore by such things, you didn't really have to keep the promise. But everything that's mentioned there is connected to God. So you're bringing God into it, whether you mean to or not. I heard about two boys, brothers, and the older boy said to his little brother, "If you let me crack 3 eggs on your head, I'll give you a dollar." Pulls out a crisp dollar bill. So I promise, I swear to God, if you let me crack 3 eggs on your head, I'll give you this dollar. Little brother said, "Man, I could really use a dollar." So he agreed to it. So big brother took an egg and just kind of smashed it on his head, and all the yolk and goot came down on his face. Big brother just laughed and laughed, looked so funny. Took another egg and smashed it on his head, same thing. Big brother's just laughing. Oh, he thought that was funny. Little brother braced for the third egg, but it didn't come. He said, "Aren't you going to do the third egg?" Big brother snorted and said, "No way, that cost me a dollar." See, he didn't lie, did he? See, that's how we can be deceptive in how we deal with others. A way of getting out of these things. So Jesus exposed the distorted view of keeping oaths. Then he talks about the divine view of oath keeping. Now he says, swear not at all. Swear not at all. Now he's not condemning the use of taking an oath. Now we go into a court of law and you put your hand on the Bible and you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. Now the Mennonites and the Quakers and others refused to take an oath, and they point to this verse. Jesus said, swear not at all. So they refused to take any kind of an oath. That's not what Jesus is talking about. We have examples of great men of God in the Bible taking vows. Abraham extracted a vow from his chief servant about not taking a Canaanite woman for his son to be a wife. Jacob made them swear to take his body back and bury it in a promised land from Egypt. Joseph took an oath of the people that they would take his bones back with them when God sent them back home to the promised land. Paul, on a number of occasions, swore by God's name. Look at this in Romans chapter 9, verse 1. Paul said, "I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost." So he's calling upon God to bear witness to what he's about to say. He does this again in 2 Corinthians 1:23. "Moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul, that to spare you I came not as yet unto Corinth." So a number of times you see the apostle calling upon God in keeping a vow. Even God swears by his own name, because there's none greater. Go to Revelation, excuse me, go to Hebrews chapter 6. Let me show you this. Hebrews chapter 6, beginning with verse 13. It says, "For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself." He swore upon his own name, saying, "Surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee." Make him a great nation. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end to all strife. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it's impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Which hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters into within the veil, where the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So here's God making a promise, making a vow upon his own name. that he's going to fulfill his promises to those who trust in Jesus Christ. So that's, Jesus is not saying never take an oath. He is, when he says swear not at all, he's talking more about using God's name in this. He's condemning the practice of the Pharisees of swearing by all these different things. He just says when you make a vow, regardless of how the vow is made, it is a vow before God. It may not be a vow to God, but you made a vow before God in his presence. And God says, keep every vow, every promise that you make. Amen. If you swear by heaven, that's where God dwells. If you swear by the earth, that's his footstool. If you swear by Jerusalem, that's where he put his name. All of these things are connected to God. You swear by the hair of your head. You're swearing by something God created. Jesus said, you can't make your hair white or black. That's before Clairol came along. But he says all these vows are sacred. Every vow, every promise should be kept. So, Brother West, all I do is tell little white lies to keep from hurting somebody's feelings. Right? Man, when your wife says, does this dress make me look fat? Do you lie? You say, no, it's your hips that make you look fat. See, there's ways of getting around that. But we tell little white lies, right? Does God consider them little white lies? No, not amen. A lie is a lie. See, well, it depends on what is. Remember that? It depends on what is. We put a spin on it, don't we? Father, I want you to know what he said about dependable words. Go back to our text in Matthew. Chapter 5. Look at verse 37. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these comes of evil. What's he saying? Let your yea be yea, let your nay be nay. Paul said it in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7. He said, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity, truthfulness. Paul was saying that he always told the truth. He never embellished anything. He never exaggerated. He never told a falsehood. He spoke the truth in God. As the old timer said, his word was his bond. Now, we need the world to look at us and see that we are truthful. That we are dependable. That ought to be true of every child of God. They say, always tell the truth. You don't have to remember all the lies you've told. Matter of fact, Abe Lincoln once said, no man has a good enough memory to make a successful liar. You know what that's talking about? When you tell lies, you got to remember your lies. And you got to have a good memory to keep up with all the falsehoods that you've told. The truth is always in order. Let your yea always be yea, your nay always be nay. Just yea and nay. You don't have to add expletives to it. Heck yes. Of course, most people use a stronger word than heck, don't they? You know what I'm talking about? They'll add an expletive to it to make you know just how serious you are about it. But listen, if you're known to be honest and trustworthy, you don't have to add an expletive. You can just say yes and let your yes be yes. You can just say no, You don't have to add anything to it. You see that? You don't have to swear by anything. Because people will know that you are a person who always keeps your word. And you don't have to swear about anything. Then note what is revealed here. Whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. Now, throughout this whole section we've covered so far in Sermon on the Mount, Jesus has been showing that the heart of the matter is what? The matter of the heart. It's all about what's on the inside. Lying reveals an evil heart. See that? What's in the heart will come out of the mouth. Jesus said of Satan that he is a liar and the father of lies. When Jesus describes lying, he goes back to the original source. When a person lies, he's revealing what or who is in his heart. Right? The liar is acting like the devil. He's the father of lies. I read something interesting. Back during the Korean War, when the Army Intelligence Corps used a polygraph, a lie detector, on North Korean POWs to see if they were telling the truth or not, they discovered something interesting there. If a man had much contact with the Christian faith, the lie detector would work. But if a man knew nothing of Christianity, the machine was of little value. Because there was no sense of guilt in that person when they lied. I thought about that. Folks, salvation makes a difference in a man's heart. The Holy Spirit, when you get saved, he comes in to indwell the believer. And he makes us aware of when we do wrong. He convicts us, doesn't he? He produces some sense of guilt about what we've said or done. Think about this. The Holy Spirit is God's lie detector in you. Amen? He's God's lie detector. When you tell a lie, he convicts you of it. He produces a sense of guilt when we lie. So we have God's lie detector dwelling in us. Parents, teach your children to be honest. Teach them to be truthful. And the best way you teach them is by your example. Now, when you take a child to the theater and say a 13-year-old is 11 so you can get a discount, you're teaching your children to be dishonest. When you tell a child who answers the phone, say, "Mama's not here," when you are, you're teaching them to lie. Now, folks, if you teach them to lie for you, how can you punish them when they lie to you? Now, I'm meddling here, but we need to think about this. You teach them by example to be truthful, to be honest. They're watching. They're listening all the time. So what's the truth about lying? Jesus tells us that lying in any form is condemned by God. We as Christians are to live by a higher standard. The standard of always being honest in everything we say and everything we do. The Holy Spirit that indwells us is called the Spirit of Truth. Right? He's the Spirit of Truth. And we grieve him when we lie and use a profane tongue. He hears everything we say. Sees everything we do. Do we grieve the Holy Spirit? Be like the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2:22, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. As we stand together, we have a hymn of invitation. Are you saved? Would you like to have Jesus Christ in your heart? Forgive you of all your sins. Transform your life. You can have that today if you only ask the Lord Jesus Christ to save you today, to come into your life. The forgiveness of your sins. Today could be your day of salvation.